بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: ولا تشرك بالله شيئا، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, we are now discussing lesson 76 on the wisdom of actions. We have started discussing the secrets of zakat, and in lesson 75 we discuss what is the meaning of zakat and also the spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala is necessary for 6 reasons. We had mentioned one of them, that is to alleviate the need of the improvised. And we have started the second one, to attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to continue, He has shown us the places which attract His mercy. Here are two examples. When a divine decree is made to uplift a particular nation, anyone spending towards the upliftment of the nation in question will become deserving of Allah's mercy. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, divinely decrees that in a certain nation there will be a flood day, a calamity day, an earthquake day, a thunderbolt day, disaster by lightning day, disaster by flooding day, disaster by tsunami day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also simultaneously instructing His servants that, O my servant, I am giving you an opportunity to spend your wealth. I am giving you an avenue to spend your wealth. I am showing you an avenue where my mercy lies. Because when people are thrown out of their homes, and when people are being torn apart, and when people are not given bare necessities and not given medical attention, and they do not have the amenities and facilities of medical buildings, etc., and people have lost their homes because of the flooding or the tsunami or the earthquake, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, why He's bringing those calamities and those earthquakes and tsunamis, that is a discussion on its own. But briefly, it could be because, first of all, to enhance their spiritual status. Secondly, it could be to tell them to wake up and go back to Allah Ta'ala, to reform and change. Thirdly, it could be a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not necessarily a punishment. It could be to try them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put any person or nation under such a difficulty that they cannot carry or bear. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always for those who are onlookers, because of the whole world has become a global village, we come to know of these calamities, that how will we respond? One is with our du'as, secondly with our wealth, and thirdly, that do we take heed of it, or do we take a lesson from it? And unfortunately, that we most of the time do not take heed of it. For example, someone in our family passes away. For a few days we are sorrowful, grieving, remorseful, and even we have seen for a few days the person becomes regular in Salat, and the person now wants to read Quran a lot, person is going every other day to the graveyard. But unfortunately, after a few days, the person is back to square one. So no proper lesson we derive from the natural occurrences which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely decrees. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls for His servants to be aided, then His servants must respond. For example, this occurred when the Muslim army marched with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Tabuk. On that occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who donated all that he possessed in the path of Allah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who donated half of his property, and Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, who at first donated 300 fully equipped camels, followed by another 200, and then a further 300. Pleased with this generous donation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "There'll be no sin upon Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for whatever he does after this, if he does not spend in the path of Allah again after this, there'll be no sin upon Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu." So here we can see that many things we derive from this. One is the divine decree that spend, because this is an important occasion, that the Romans are threatening Islam, and the Romans are mustering their forces, and they need to be checked. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that let us go to Tabuk. 1 month's tedious, difficult journey in the heat. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who gives all his wealth, leaving behind Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who gives half his wealth. And this is very difficult to do. We read it, we narrate it, we talk about it, we think it's easy, but very difficult. Remember in quantity, that which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who brought was more than what Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the fact of the matter is that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought everything. Everything. According to one narration, that he passed his hands over his internal walls so that not leaving anything behind, and brought everything. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu at first gave 300 fully equipped camels, meaning the saddle, the food, and the equipment, and then followed by another 200, and then a further 300, totally to 800 fully equipped camels for this mighty journey. Nevertheless, because of his reaction, because he responded to the divine call, and he knew that this is the opportunity to spend, and this is the avenue to spend, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There'll be no sin upon Usman for whatever he does after this." Meaning, if he does not spend one dirham or dinar in the path of Allah, there'll be no sin on him absolutely. Why? Because he responded to the divine call. He responded to the divine creed. He responded to the divine opportunity. He responded to the divine avenue. Similarly, that if we in this age, if we also respond to the divine avenues and divine call, and divine opportunities, we also will be tremendously rewarded. And we also will come under the mercy of Allah. Because remember, the divine opportunities are the means to attract the mercy of Allah. The divine avenues are the means to attract the mercy of Allah. The divine places, for example, to help the needy and the poor, the wayfarer and the destitute and the widow, and the one who has got no shelter and food and clothing, and to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked, and to shelter the needy, and to help the one in debt, and to help the one, the wayfarer, and the one who is in difficulty, who is in dire strait. He alone, she alone, they know the difficulties, and they are crying before Allah. And if a person goes and fulfills those needs, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy immediately descends upon that person. That is why we say, and the great scholars of Islam have stated, that try to give your charities in loco yourself, that you have a feel and pulse of the society and locality that you are living in. Unfortunately, what has happened, that there are so many organizations out there collecting funds, and sadly to say, how much of transparency there is, that is much to be desired. And all these organizations, whether they are performing right, but in my knowledge, that many of them do not even know the definitions of zakat, fitrah, lillah, fidyah, kafara. Try it, and you'll find that they do not even know the definitions, but they are running these organizations. They do not know who are the people deserving and who are not deserving, who are worthy and who are not worthy. And unfortunately, these days you get organizations that are having pop festivals, etc., to raise money. And unfortunately, we give them money and we fund them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. Here you can see in the book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the opportunity to the Muslims in the book to contribute. And how Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and who, how they responded to that. Number two, when people are dying of starvation due to a drought and Allah wishes to help such people, any person who contributes towards their welfare will attain Allah's mercy. Yeah, we can see something, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us avenues, opportunities, that if you want, take your money to the right place. As I've explained in lesson 75, that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us Iman, intelligence and power of choice. And He has given us everything around us. And when He has blessed us with wealth, He is testing us to see where we are going to take this wealth. Are we going to help those people in drought, in famine, in plague? Are we going to help those people who do not have shelter, who have become homeless, who have been driven out of their homes? Are we going to help those who are hungry and have got no food? And are we going to help those who have got no clothing to cover their bare backs? Are we going to protect and help those who require our help? Or are we going to squander our money away in lavish weddings, lavish festivals, going for Hajj and coming for Hajj and going for Umrah and coming from Umrah? And also, are we going to spend upon futile vain activities? Are we going to consume our wealth in illegal activities? Fornication, adultery has become rife. Sin has become so rife that we don't regard sin as sin. Are we going to take our money and throw it in the casino and gambling dens and in the lottery and the lotto? Are we going to take our money and throw it away in haram avenues and opportunities? Then we cannot get the mercy of Allah. And the reason for spending is to get the mercy of Allah. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us guidelines by which to ascertain which are the avenues that will attract Allah's mercy. He has told us which people and which avenues to spend it. So whoever will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and act accordingly will find the promises of reward to be true. So everything has been outlined, explained to us, and we have to make our choices. So one benefit and one necessity for spending and becoming charitable is to alleviate the need of the impoverished. Secondly, to attract the mercy of Allah. Thirdly, to cure greed and miserliness. A great obstacle in the path of attaining spiritual perfection is the love of wealth and miserliness. These traits cause tremendous harm to a person and cannot be eradicated unless one acquaints the soul with the spending in the path of Allah. Man naturally, unfortunately, loves the world. Dunya, the word dunya means that which is close, and that which is near, that which is in proximity. That is why it is called dunya in comparison to akhirat, that which is away from us. Now, man is inclined towards it, and man loves it. Whereas the hadith is saying, and Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala, they understood fully this hadith, that the more you run away from the world runs after you. And the more you run to the world, you run for the world, and the more you hanker after the world runs away from you. Sahaba Ikram, if you study their life, Hayatul Sahaba, we have translated, and now Alhamdulillah, we have retranslated Fazail Amal, and you read Hikayatul Sahaba, Hayatul Sahaba, that how far they were from the world. The world was not in their heart. As a result, the world came running to them. And the soul, unfortunately, is inclined towards the pleasures of the world, towards the niceties of the world. No one is saying, do not enjoy the comfort and ease of the world. But do not let the comfort and the ease of the world become part and parcel of you. Yes, how you judge this? That if you do not have the ease and the comfort, you can do without it. You can be without it. There are some people that they have become, for example, so accustomed to air condition that they will not travel even for Hajj, saying that they cannot manage any difficulty in their lives. You'll find some people, they as soon as they come out of their air conditioned office or house, and when they go into the car, the first thing they put on is the air condition. So now you have let certain comfort become part and parcel of your life. Like how we have become used to electricity. And when there is power failure, then we become confused and we do not know what to do. But in those countries where there is no lights, where there is load sharing, where there is power sharing, those people have appreciated the value of electricity, the value of water, the value of basic bare necessities. But we have made the amenities and facilities of comfort and ease and luxuries part and parcel of our life. Now, in order to take this out from the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, spend. So when we spend, then the love of the wealth will come out from the heart. When we spend in the path of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, then the love of the wealth will come out of the soul. And then the body and the soul will function in a balanced way, having checks and balances. You will not be enticed by the illicit haram luxuries of the world. The difficulty arises is that when a person enjoys the comfort and ease of the world, but then later that very same person, he now becomes inclined towards haram. And this person here, he, because he's used to ease and comfort, that this person now goes towards the haram. And he justifies this. But if this person is accustomed to spending in the path of Allah, he's taking his wealth and giving it to the poor, aiding the needy, helping the destitute and the wayfarer, then this wealth love will come out. And if the love of the wealth comes out of the person, he'll become a successful person. Said, I have to say this at this juncture, that our whole circular non-Islamic educational system is based upon this, that we must become materialistic robots. We must become those who the purpose in life becomes money, pleasure, play, luxury, ease, comfort. The object and aim of all this education, if you look, is a person must become qualified, professional, he must become tradesman, he must become someone who can earn money. End of the course, end of the lesson, he must know how to earn money. And he must be a person materialistically alive. If you look at the educational system, it is thrust in that direction. The whole object and purpose is to create this human being into a materialistic robot without feelings, so that he feels as this is my money. Many places you go to, many professions you go to, and you tell them, spend in the path of Allah, they will tell you, Mufti Sahab, this is my money. I worked for it. I am sweating for it. My perspiration is behind. This is my wealth. This is due to my labor. This is due to my brains. This is due to my effort. This is due, this money is due to my sacrifice. So this is mine. I'm giving it to no one. This is my money, my car, my house. I give to no one. Why this attitude? Because of the educational system. That is why there has to be a balance, bringing in Islamic education and life of Anbiya, life of Sahaba, who focused on the Akhirat and what leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have this, then we'll have the pleasure and balance. Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, you shall never reach true and perfect righteousness until you spend of that which you love. And what do we love most? Is our wealth, our life, our property, our merchandise, our goods. Without spending in the path of Allah, these melodies remain where they are. And according to a hadith in Bukhari, will be transformed into a bald snake on the day of Qiyamah to strike at him. Another narration states that the failure to pay zakat on camels will cause the person to be trampled and crushed by the very same camels on the day of Qiyamah. The same will apply to not paying the zakat on other animals. Now, because the example has been given of camel, that the person never give his zakat to the camels, and the camels will trample him, smash him and crush him, smash him to smithereens. Why? Because he did not fulfill the rights of the camels by giving out the zakat on the camels. Similarly, the buffaloes and all other animals, the sheep and the goats, the cows, the oxen, etc., the bulls, if the person does not give the necessary zakat, then they are going to trample him on the day of judgment, and they are going to ride on him. And the people who do not give zakat on their wealth, that wealth will be transformed into a bald snake on the day of Qiyamah, and it will keep striking at that person on his forehead and smiting on that person's forehead, biting that person on the forehead. Why you did not give zakat? So the solution is that the person upon whom zakat is necessary, he should reform and change and say that, listen, I must give the zakat. Why? Number one, to alleviate the need of the improvised. Number two, to attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, to cure greed and miserliness. You will find, unfortunately, that because a person has got love for materialistic things, then he, for a loss of a life, sometimes he won't be grieved. But you scratch his car, then he gets grieved. Then he is upset. Then he is crying. And we have got incidents of people beating up the children. Innocent, their own innocent children, who perchance with their bicycle scratched the parent's car. And when the parent came to know who did it, came to know that their son did it and was riding a bicycle nearby, hit the child, hospitalized the child, and now is shedding tears. Why? Love of dunya, love of the car has come into the heart and has drowned the heart and has enveloped the heart and destroyed the heart. So we should strike this balance, and the only way to strike the balance is to first of all look at the plight of the poor and the needy and the destitute. One, alhamdulillah, you'll find we just write out the checks, give it to the organizations, and we bid farewell to the check, the money and the organizations. But have we ever gone there? Have we ever went to the poor? Start, Imam Ghazali, Ramtullah Alayhi, etc. say that start from your relatives. Visit your poor relatives and see in what plight they are in. And then compare whilst you are there in what luxury we are sitting in, and what comfort we are lavishing in, and how we are squandering and splashing the wealth which Allah has blessed us with. So by looking at that, our hearts will get influenced, and then we'll become softer and we'll be able to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Jalla Majdahu declares, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily those who hoard, amass gold and silver, and do not spend it in the way for the pleasure of Allah, they give them the good news of a painful punishment for hankering after worldly desires. This punishment shall be meted out to them the day when their gold and silver will be heated in the fire of Jahannam, and their foreheads, their sides, and their backs will be branded, burnt with it, because you turned your backs and your sides when you were asked to spend your wealth for Allah's pleasure. It will then be told to them, this is what you used to hoard for yourselves. So taste the punishment for what you have hoarded. So to save ourselves for such a dreadful, horrific day, because of hankering of the wealth and lust for the wealth and greed for the wealth, it will be branded on us if we do not spend on the needy and the destitute. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to spend and know the reasons for spending. Inshallah, when we come back for lesson number 77, then we will continue discussing the reasons for spending in the path of Allah. And we'll start discussing the fourth reason, to avert calamities and disaster, and then we'll go on to the fifth reason, to safeguard from sin, and then we'll discuss the sixth reason, to show concern for one's family. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.